I'm sorry, your time has expired, so the case will take under advisement. We'll move on to the next case, which is Henry Bart Dye.
May I please the court?
You're Mr. Gabhart?
I'm Mr. Gabhart.
Okay.
I represent Bart Harrison Dye. This case stems out of the Southern District of Indiana. This is a rather short, precise case. Mr. Dye went into bankruptcy Chapter 12 in 01. Now, this is an important issue to me because Mr. Dye did not buy a farm and couldn't handle it. This farm...
He didn't buy a farm and what?
And couldn't farm it, lost it. In other words, he didn't buy a farm. This is the old family farm that was established in 1850. He's the fifth generation Dye. He had a serious problem in the early 80s, like everybody else did in the farming industry. As we well know, they passed Chapter 12 to give that relief. Mr. Dye did not take Chapter 12. What he done was he had five notes with private lending institutions, and the institution wanted their money. He went to FHA at that time, FSA at this time, and refinanced that farm. At that time, he had newly got married of 2 years. His wife didn't like farming, wanted a divorce. So in the process of taking her name off of the deeds and everything, the creditors now took the deeds in lien of trust on that farm.
Well, I guess I'm trying to distinguish the creditors versus the then FHA.
Well, they are FHA.
Who had title to the farm?
FSA, the creditors.
They had
Mr. Dye. No, Mr. Dye had title to the farm.
The FSA maintained that it not only took title of the farm in 1984, but that it leased it to someone else altogether for 5 years. Are you saying, just so I can get it clear, are you saying that Mr. Dye remained in possession of the farm even during that five-year period?
Yes, Your Honor.
What evidence is there that he didn't sell the farm to the government?
Pardon?
What evidence do you have that he did not sell the farm to the government?
I think the leading factor of that is that in order for the government, being a creditor, you have to comply with state law on real estate. There's two state statutes that absolutely forbid this. There's Indiana Code 322911 that holds that if a creditor puts it in the deed, or takes deed in lien of a trust and says, well, you've breached this contract, we're going to take the farm, they still have to go through foreclosure.
Was that the equitable lien or an equitable mortgage?
That's right.
It's similar to if you were to buy the land on contract.
That's correct.
And after a certain portion into the contract that you have, in effect, an equitable lien.
That's correct.
Now, why does that... So what you're saying is, I guess, that while the title shifted to, we'll call it the government, he retained an equitable lien based on certain payments that he had made and was continuing to make?
No, he retained ownership interest because all they could have taken at that time was a lien interest in that title, although they held it under Indiana law.
So it's like if you buy a car and they hold the title?
They hold the title.
Security, because that means you can't sell it?
That's correct. They hold the title. You can't sell it.
What's the advantage of the government holding the title under those circumstances since it's all recorded anyway?
You know, I don't know what their advantage, they thought the advantage, but it was sort of a policy back in those years. I understand now they no longer do that.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the distinguishing figure, Your Honor. This mortgage, recorded mortgage down at the Martin County Courthouse, that was on these original notes that the government came in and that the government loaned the money on. That mortgage stayed the same. Mr. Dye stayed on the farm for 17 years up until 01 and made $396,902.92 in payments. They accepted those payments.
Well, the government said he was leasing the farm from the government.
That leasing theory came up later. I've never seen any indication that he ever leased anything.
Incidentally, the deed in the 1984 transaction, whatever it was, is not in the record on appeal, although I gather it was in the record before Judge Young.
So yes, Judge Young.
Somebody might look into that, I guess.
Is my 5 minutes up already?
Yeah. Well, you know, you can do what you want with your time. You can argue now or wait and rebut.
I would prefer to retain my 5 minutes.
All right. Mr. Hunter?
Thank you, Your Honor.
Could I just real quick ask you this before I go mad?
Sure.
Mr. Dye says that he remained on the farm even after 1984. Is that true with respect to that five-year period in which the property was leased to other individuals?
The evidence is that the farm was leased to other individuals in that time frame. I'm not sure if Mr. Dye is asserting that he maintained a residence on the farm, because he has a house and some acres that are separate from the mortgage property, as I understand it. So perhaps that's what he's talking about.
What do you understand as far as who, other people leasing the farm? He says he paid all this money, I assume, he thinks it was to pay down what is an equitable mortgage, and you say somebody else is leasing it. What is all that money he just recited? Where did that go?
Actually, that's dealt with in the Kearns affidavit, which was of record before the bankruptcy court and should be in the record on appeal. I hope it is, and the deed was attached to the Kearns affidavit.
Well, the deed isn't there now on appeal.
You better check the record.
Yes, sir, we will.
Let me ask a procedural question. We have this opinion from Judge Young, but the bankruptcy court's opinion is just on the really limited issue. The usual procedures for the bankruptcy court, they have a proceeding and make findings, and the district court is supposed to operate as an appellate body. Why isn't that followed here?
Well, this was a result of our motion for the bankruptcy court to order the debtor to either assume or reject the executory contract. And perhaps for that reason, the findings were not as extensive as they might otherwise be.
Well, the bankruptcy court didn't make any findings on any of the things we're arguing about here, did they?
Well, the bankruptcy court found that it wasn't a lease.
Well, that's the ultimate conclusion, I guess.
Purchase. And that was supported by the evidence before the bankruptcy court, which included the Kearns affidavit and the Kearns testimony at the hearing.
Where was all the testimony? Who had the hearing, the bankruptcy judge or the district court?
The bankruptcy judge did, Your Honor. And included in that testimony and the affidavit was the fact that actually the payments Mr. Dye is talking about were payments that were done and credited against the debt prior to the time of the deed and prior to the time of the write-down of the debt by the Department of Agriculture. What happened here is there was a warranty deed by Mr. Dye and his wife in 1984 transferring the property to the Department of Agriculture. As a result of that deed, the Department of Agriculture wrote down over $800,000 of debt to Mr. Dye, part of which Mr. Dye would have been personally liable for.
Now, of course, Mr. Dye seems to be suggesting that if the FSA did acquire the farm in 1984, it did so in violation of Indiana law.
Well,
has that point been addressed in any of the
proceedings? I don't believe it was addressed until his reply brief. And actually, when you read that statute, it doesn't apply here. That statute that he referred to refers to the mortgage holder having possession of the real estate. And that's not the situation here. What happened here is Mr. Dye deeded the property over in exchange for a write-down of the debt, some of which he would have been personally liable for.
In effect, a deed in lieu of foreclosure.
Yes, Your Honor.
But he, in that case, would completely lose title.
Yes, sir.
And also be exonerated from any excess over the value of the farm.
And that's exactly what happened here, based upon the Kearns affidavit and the Kearns testimony. That is exactly what happened here. Now, what's confusing here is subsequent to that time, due to a congressional program, there was a lease-back buyback program that the Department of Agriculture had. And under that lease-back buyback program, the farmer could lease the farm for 5 years, pay lease payments, and have the option to purchase at the end of that period. And
that presupposes that the government has full title to the farm that he used to own.
Yes, and there's no evidence.
He claims that didn't. He's trying to say he didn't used to own it, he still owns it,
yes,
or whatever.
Unfortunately for Mr. Dye, there's no evidence in the record that supports that. The evidence is there was a deed absolute, a warranty deed, from Dye and his wife to the Department of Agriculture, that the debt was completely extinguished, that the Department of Agriculture subsequently leased it to other people for 5 years, and then after that, Mr. Dye got the chance, because of a congressional program, to lease it back and with the potential to buy it back. And he leased it, he exercised the option to purchase, and then he initiated litigation concerning the purchase price. And that was in the district court that he initiated it, and that took quite some time to resolve.
Where did all that money go that he claims to have paid in that 5-year period between the deed, the conveyance to the government, and this letter or whatever it is, this option to purchase?
That was applied to an account that was a lease account. Those payments were based upon, it was not a financing device with the lease with the option to purchase. Those payments were actually based upon comparable farm leases in the area, based upon productivity. There was a determination made of, you know.
Was he actually leasing during that 5-year period?
From 1991 forward, he leased for 5 years.
No. He was talking about the period of time from the deed,
yes,
till this, whatever you want to call it, this option to purchase.
Yes.
Now we call it executory.
Well.
Was there at 5-year period, was he paying money to the government?
No, sir. Other people leased it after it was.
So there isn't any payment from him during that time?
That is the evidence of record based upon the Kearns.
Now, is there evidence of this in the record?
Based upon, it's in the Kearns affidavit, no. Your Honor.
And we don't have, I guess we ought to have the deed then.
Yeah. I will check and see.
Okay, go ahead then.
So the fact is that Mr. Dye's debt was extinguished in 1984. After the deed in 1984, in September of 1984, then he entered into a subsequent lease in 1991, actually.
So it's more than 5 years.
And it's more than 5 years. There was a gap period there.
And that gap, he had no interest in the farm, as far as you're concerned.
That is correct, Your Honor.
Of course, if it's just a matter of intent as to whether the conveyance to the government was for mortgage purposes or deep title absolute, I guess.
Well, actually, and the point is, there's nothing in the record that supports Mr. Dye's contention that it was his intent or the Department of Agriculture's intent to create anything other than a deed absolute.
There was no foreclosure. This was a conveyance in lieu of foreclosure.
Yes, Your Honor. And he got the benefit of getting a write-down of over $300,000 that he would otherwise have been personally liable for.
Now, if we uphold your position here, is it still available to him to reject or not the executory contract? Is that still outstanding?
Unfortunately, he did not assume or reject it within the time frame set by the bankruptcy court. He obtained no stay of the order of the bankruptcy court, so his time has lapsed.
What's the status of the farm now? The government still own it?
Yes, in fact, it's not of record, but the government has leased it to other parties and will take steps to sell it within the next year or less.
And I also assume that when they took over the deed, or took deed in lieu of foreclosure, that like most other farms, it had substantially reduced in value. Therefore, what may have been a value in excess of what was owed became a value less than what was owed, right?
There's no evidence of record of that. The evidence is that they valued it at $525,000 at the time of the transfer and credited that amount against Mr. Dye's debt of more than $800,000.
How many acres is it?
It's 900 and some acres.
So it's a little about $600 an acre.
I'd have to do the math.
Does it have value for something other than farming at this point? Or?
Excuse me?
I say, does it have value for something other than farming at this point?
There's no evidence in the record on that matter. Basically, what happened here is Mr. Dye had an option to purchase. He tried to exercise it. He initiated litigation about it, litigated about what the value was. The district court determined that value in April of 2002 when we moved for him to assume or reject the executory contract within a couple of months thereafter. We submit that there's no facts that support, of record, that support Mr. Dye's contentions, that the evidence supports the decisions of the bankruptcy court and the district court, that this was a deed absolute and there was no financing over time. Mr. Dye refers to a couple of miscellaneous issues that we think are, again, not supported by the evidence. He talks about a forum letter in 1991. The evidence is he actually entered a lease in 1991. He signed the lease, and that is the lease that gave him an option to purchase for a cash price. We've addressed briefly the argument regarding the Indiana statute, and I see my time is up. Thank you.
Gephardt?
Your Honor, there's a difference here. 1991, the federal government sent out an option type of letter. It was a form letter. It was not addressed to Bart Dye individually. It was addressed to a group of people that had ever had financial problems with their farm, and that it was just one of those letters that you put an X here and this, if it's this or that, and you mail it back. And what it done, if your farm had went through foreclosure and they had that farm as inventory property, you had an option. You could sign an option from in 1991 and make payments. In 1996, you had to get financing to have the farm. Mr. Dye received one of them. He said, it doesn't pertain to me. Fill it up, send it back, it doesn't pertain to me. Paid no attention to it. Now,
here's where is he now? Where is he? Is he
he's on that farm.
He's living on that
That's
farm.
That's correct.
Are there different parcels? Is there a farm parcel or not?
There's two farms totaling 1,042 acres. The Williams farm is the one he lives on, belongs to his mother's people, inherited as the only child. The Dye farm is at Dover Hill, real close. It's got 600 and some acres. Was his father's inheritance. Those farms are together. Yes, he's on the farm. He's never left the farm. They've never tried to remove him.
Nobody else is out there farming it?
There is this year. But
well, no, back all this time when he thought he owned it.
He farmed it, and at some periods, he would lease certain pieces of that land out. Like he leased the pasture land out over on the Dover Hill farm.
But he got the money for that lease, right?
Yeah.
I think there's a lease that he signed in 1991 in the record, isn't it? Isn't there a lease document in the record as of 1991? You don't think there is.
Your Honor, I'm pretty familiar with this case, and I've really worked on it, but I don't see any connection, because we never heard of ownership until we filed that Chapter 12.
And didn't the FSA?
Ma'am,
Didn't the FSA lease the land?
FSA, did they lease the land?
Yeah.
From him?
No.
Not
somebody else.
To someone else for those 5 years.
Did they lease it to somebody else for 5 years?
Yeah.
Not to my knowledge.
No, but you're saying that he didn't respond to this letter he got in 91, but I think that he executed a document to lease the land.
Yeah, he sent it in, but here's the question, if that letter had any validity, after 96, when it was supposed to have been over, he stayed right on the farm of farming, collecting the money, selling the products.
He's still there, you think?
He's still there today. He's not farming the farm. This year...
Could he lease it to someone else?
No, the government did.
Oh.
He said, we're going to settle this in court. Let them do whatever they want to do.
So is it your contention that this is the first time ever that the government has leased the land?
This is my contention. There was some leasing going on, but Bart Dye was always in the middle of it.
Well, he was getting the money then.
Yeah. He was always in the middle of this leasing thing.
Well,
they're giving it to the government. Sure, they had money. He was giving it to those people.
What I want both of you to do at the end of this argument is get in that record, and you make sure that every document that was before the court, bankruptcy and district court, is there now, because this has lots of gaps, and we're not going to be able to look at this thing and then say, gee, I wonder what happened in this interim. Every time that that farm has been touched by the government, there should be a document that says whose it is and who's getting the lease money and or whatever.
Or how it was channeled.
Well,
you see,
yeah, whatever.
They may have got the lease money, but it went through. But I said, here, I owe this money to you, and I'm going to lease this 400 acres of bottom land out.
And how much, you had the exact figure, how much money did he pay over that period of time when the government says they owned it and somebody else was leasing it?
$396,907.92.
Or almost $400,000.
That's correct, Your Honor.
That he's paid.
That's correct, Your Honor.
For what he thinks is, I guess, a payment.
Had no reason to believe otherwise.
And they say it was leased to somebody else.
Yeah, when we filed a Chapter 12.
And you've been into this case pretty
deep. From the very beginning.
But you don't understand that, do you? Why that discrepancy?
No, huge. No, I don't. No, I don't.
Well,
I understand your position.
I hope there's some documents that clear it up, because this is baffling, frankly.
I understand. Well, my father is a third cousin. He's 92 years old. He was dying. Asked me to come and see him. My dad, I drove from the south up there, and he said, there's some bad talk about Bart up there. I said, I want you to go up and see what.
Are you related to Bart?
Bart is my fourth cousin.
Okay.
I'm out of the state. I have a lung problem. I started out here in Chicago many years ago, and I had a lung problem. I went to the south on that water down there, and I've been a Indiana lawyer down there ever since.
Okay.
And
well, you admitted to practice in Indiana?
No. I'm okay here, but no, I never petitioned up there. Every time I get up there, I choke to death.
You're admitted to practice in Mississippi, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I get down up there.
You're choking in Indiana, huh?
Can't get in Indiana.
Okay.
Don't be willing to. Some of the Palin folks, I've been up here a couple times.
Okay, well.
I brought that stock merger case.
Before you go back to wherever you can breathe.
Yeah.
I really want that records for you.
Sure, I'll do
that.
Now, let me ask you this question in fairness. Would it be fair that I exchange what I find with counsel for...
Well, I hope there's nothing in dispute. I hope we have a record of documents that are valid and whatever the court considered, because they made a lot of findings and we don't... At least I haven't been through it, so I don't know for sure. I didn't see anything with what you guys filed. Stay up close to the microphone. And you're done anyway,
I'm used to dancing around in front of them southern juries down there. We still got the old courtrooms, you know, with the glass domes.
We're too old to dance.
Yeah, fans.
You gotta hang on to the microphone
yourself.
Here.
Fans. But I'm getting old.
My hands is on the table.
This is my 133rd pick.
Okay, well, we're done. You know what you got to do before you leave, okay?
I'll work with you, and I'll call in and get a law clerk's name, and I'll work with you. Any law clerk
this you've got. Today, okay?
That'll be fine.
All right. In this case, we'll be taken under advisement.
And gentlemen, thank you.
All right.